Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I am Josh and I am joined by John.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking about why the corporate media is terrible. And I'm sure many of you have your own ideas about this, but I wanted to explore it in a little bit more detail because, of course, we've all seen the articles and how they misrepresent what we see as reality. But I wanted to dig a little bit deeper, break down why the different factors, why I think corporate media is terrible, and also why I think they actually do it themselves and their incentives behind it, so we can better understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and who's behind it, and why.
Yeah, I think it's a subject dear to many people's hearts, especially if they're on our channel.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, many of us wouldn't be here if this wasn't the case, I don't think.
Yeah, if we could all trust the BBC, we probably wouldn't be working at the Lotus Eaters.
Well, I'm happy I'm here anyway.
Yeah.
So, to start off, obviously, it hasn't necessarily always been this way. Around the sort of late 60s, early 70s, the corporate media was at its peak of popularity and public image in a way. So it's riding the wave of the civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, particularly the Pentagon Papers published by the New York Times, which proved that President Johnson had lied to the public in Congress about the Vietnam War. Mm. And of course, Watergate as well was exposed by journalists as well. Mm-hmm. So respect and trust of the media was never higher at this point, although obviously they still had their moments. Mm. I mean, they're still human beings behind the publications.
Yeah, and you get a sense of this when you speak to people from previous generations as well. They are all of the opinion that our media used to be so much better. I'm not sure if it's as much better as they remember it, but they certainly trusted it and it wasn't directly insulting to their sensibilities in the way that it is now.
I think there has been a stylistic change in how they approach things, but we'll break that down as we kind of go along. So obviously, trust in the media has gone down. It's comparable to that of trust in politicians these days. Mm. And we're going to break down why that might be. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is the lies.
It's a pretty long segment, I expect.
Well, yes, obviously, we're not going to talk about every media lie that's ever been told because I will be here for weeks and
weeks.
There
is such a thing as the heat death of the universe.
Yeah. So obviously, one of the supposed roles of journalists, probably the main role, is that when dealing with things like politics, they hold politicians accountable and those in government accountable for misgivings that the public may not be aware of. And of course, that's a very practical point because people have their specializations. They don't want to dedicate their entire day to being able to follow what their representatives and officials are doing.
Mm-hmm. This is actually one thing that Soviet apologists claim in defense of the USSR. It's the idea that because we don't have a participative political system, the ordinary person just doesn't spend any of their time worrying about politics. Isn't that great?
That seems like a small consolation for living in the Soviet Union.
That's true. That is true.
It's like, yes, you won't be worried about politics when you're starving in a gulag. Great. So yeah, obviously there's lots of neglect of this role now because there's basically a symbiotic relationship between the media and politicians because that way they get the best stories and the politicians can help construct the narrative. But what I'm going to do is look at some coverage of Donald Trump because I think we all know the actual actions of what Donald Trump put forward, what he believed, kind of his policies, and that they were exponentially better than Biden's. I think we can say that very confidently now. We're a year down into his presidency that Biden has consistently managed to screw up what Trump has done, more or less, which is a travesty. And I feel very sorry for people who have to tolerate the Biden presidency.
The Biden regime.
Yes. So first and foremost, there's an article which covers the news coverage of Donald Trump's first 100 days, which was published in 2017, May, to be specific. But it supposedly is predicated on the fact that Trump used the term fake news to damage corporate media's standing and therefore their profits because their viewership actually...
It's an unusual strategy, possibly unprecedented for the president of America, a presidential candidate, to be directly hostile to the media, to identify them as a threat rather than kowtowing to them and supplicating them to try to get them on side.
It's something that I have an infinite amount of respect for because It's something that ordinary people knew for a very long time, yeah, that the media were lying to them and misrepresented stuff. And
the most anti-American people I know in this country, the most anti-Trump people I know, I can still get them on side by saying he rubbed the noses of the wrong people. He annoyed the media. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. And no one else had the courage to do that until he came along.
Yes. So they were given a monetary incentive as well as, you know, a social standing kind of thing. The respect for their profession, I suppose, was attacked, and mm-hmm. therefore it primed them to attack him without mercy.
Was he also the one who used the term scum media, or was that someone else?
I'm not sure.
Interesting. But fake news is what he's known for popularizing.
It was actually used by Hillary Clinton again, about him first, and he used it thinking, oh, that's a good term. Mm-hmm. And then it became synonymous with him, which is also another great strategy, using the words of your enemies against them, mm-hmm. or more or less. So the article I'm going to go through starts off talking about a report, and which is based on analysis of news reports in print editions of the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, main newscasts of CBS, CNN, Fox News, NBC, and three European news outlets, the UK's Financial Times, the BBC, and Germany's ARD.
I've not heard of ARD, actually.
Me neither. I mean, I tend not to read any German news anyway.
But I can't read German, you see.
Well,
something of a handicap.
So they say, President Trump dominated media coverage in outlets and programs analyzed, with Trump being the topic of 41% of all news stories, wow, three times the amount of coverage received by previous presidents. He was also featured speaker in nearly two-thirds of his coverage. So that means that it was about things that he himself said rather than things other people were saying about him. Mm-hmm. So
why do you think he managed to monopolize coverage so much? How did he make everyone so obsessed with him?
I think part of his... he understands what resonates well in the media, because you've got to remember, he has like he's been in like things like WWE, right?
Right.
So he knows how to create a story that will be talked about, and you can say something that will get a reaction that you don't necessarily believe, or you're putting it in terms that are deliberately abrasive to build
up.
So
he was being deliberately provocative towards the media to outrage them, so that in their outrage they would cover the story and give him publicity.
Yes.
It's a very intelligent strategy.
It is, yeah. And it's something that actually I see other people recognising and picking up somewhat as well.
I think you could argue that Farage in this country has done a similar thing, certainly in his use of alternative
certainly not
platforms.
As deliberately as Trump did.
No.
And not as well. So.
Well, there's a reason he's not prime minister.
So they say that European reporters were more likely than American journalists to directly question Trump's fitness for office. One of the reasons I thought that this might be the case is that Trump is kind of a bit of an avatar for America. I see him as being a very American kind of person, whereas Europeans in our kind of very snobbish and what's the word? We kind of turn our nose up at brashness and self-confidence. Yes.
Well, I remember when the elections were going on, I was talking to a friend in Tokyo at the time, and we had this conversation about the upcoming candidates. And I made the point that Trump was the president that the Americans deserved. I didn't think he would be a good president at the time, but everything that he did well in an American way. And everything that he did badly in an American way. He wasn't very eloquent or polite. He was very outspoken. He was very rude. And he didn't respect the environments that he was placed in, all of this. And it sort of reminds you of the bad stereotypes of American tourists, to be honest.
I saw him very emblematic of just the idiosyncrasies of American culture. It's like he's almost like a culmination of what it means to be American. Yes. Not to praise the guy too much, but that's the impression from abroad. It's just like, wow, this is like the most American.
And I think that, so there's a reason that the Japanese overwhelmingly had negative views of Trump. They were sort of slightly horrified that someone like that could hold the position of office. And that's because form and politeness and manners are paramount in a culture like Japan. And I think they're also very important in Britain and to a lesser extent, Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's that that sort of infringement on the established social norms of politeness culture, which probably made many people horrified at the idea of Trump and makes many Europeans skeptical of him, even if his policies actually align with their interests.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfectly reasonable. So they go on to say, Trump has received unsparing coverage for most weeks of his presidency without a single major topic where Trump's coverage on balance was more positive than negative, setting a new standard for unfavorable press coverage of a president. Fox was the only news outlet in the study that came close to giving Trump positive coverage overall. However, there was variation in the tone of Fox's coverage depending on the topic.
Mm. That's so interesting. Even Fox News wasn't in this corner.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were somewhat skeptical. So,
well, that's funny because the other alphabet soup news outlets mm-hmm. cast Fox News as if they are Trump sycophants or apologists.
Well, I wonder what incentive they have to do that. It's almost like they make money from it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny that. Mm. So this next quote, I'm going to pose it to you.
Okay. It's quiz time.
Yeah. And my purpose of doing this is just to prove that it didn't start with Trump. That's for certain. So mm-hmm. which president, obviously you at home can play along as well. Unfortunately I can't get their answers, but the quote goes as follows. I fought more damn battles here than any president in 20 years and not got one damn bit of credit from the knee jerk liberal press. I'm damn sick of it. Sick and tired of it. Sorry.
So, okay, I'm probably going to answer this by meta-analysis. So liberal, I feel like the apotheosis of liberal politics in America was, as we understand the term in the American context, is probably LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson. So it'd be hilarious if it were Lyndon B. saying that. I'm not actually sure how much Lyndon B. swore, though. And his immediate successor, who's a Republican, would be the most likely candidate. So I'm going to guess Nixon.
No.
Ah,
who was it? It was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Okay, wow.
Yeah, so it goes to show that even someone who you would imagine so-called liberal press would be on side with mm-hmm. is complaining that even they don't give him any credit for the things he was doing, which this was relatively early on in his presidency as well, I think. I think it was in an interview with Rolling Stone or something along those lines off the top of my head.
But right.
I thought it very interesting that We think of it as a modern thing, but it's not strictly modern. I mean, every president since, you know, the 60s really has had a problem with the press. So I'm going to read a little quote here that says, Nixon worked largely behind the scenes, threatening to take away broadcasters' licenses if they didn't shape up. Ronald Reagan created what amounted to a White House news service feeding stories directly to local news outlets in order to bypass the national press. George W. Bush extended that strategy, adding video feeds to the mix. Clinton and Barack Obama relied on one-on-one interviews with reporters in an effort to get out their side of the story. During his presidency, Obama held more than 1,000 such interviews. So we can see that every president since at least Nixon, who coined the term media, because of course, before
really?
Then,
that was him.
Yeah. Before Nixon, they were referred to as the press, but Nixon wanted to use a term that weakened the validity and prestige because they were obviously quite critical of him. So he referred to them as media, implying, of course, that they were more entertainment than actual fact and news, right. Which is quite clever, really. And yeah. I quite like the term. So, yeah. Thank you, Richard Nixon. You might have done Watergate, but, you know, at least you did this. So, as you can probably recall, the press coverage was not always negative for Trump either. So,
no.
Trump, another quote here, Trump's dislike of the press was slow in coming. When he announced his presidential candidacy, journalists embraced him and he returned the favor. Trump received far more coverage and far more positive coverage than did his Republican rivals. Only after he had secured the Republican nomination did the press sharpen its scrutiny and, as his coverage turned negative, Trump turned on the press.
I had forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to bear in mind because this is a really, really important point because the fact that the nature of the corporate press's coverage changed kind of suggests that there's no objective standard. It's not necessarily the people behind it, but their agenda behind what they were doing clearly had changed because they were attacking him as the new Republican candidate.
I wonder if their coverage was positive in the sense of thinking, oh, he's never going to get the nomination, but if we can build him a reasonable support base, then that's a load of apathetic Republican voters who are going to be salty that their candidate didn't get the nomination.
It could certainly be strategic in that way, but I think if you remember pre-Trump's nomination, he was an adored public figure in a way. I mean, he's in Home Alone. New Yorkers knew him as the guy who restored the ice rink Central Park, I think it is. And he was known for rejuvenating the city. And if you ask people what they thought of Donald Trump, it would be largely positive. I mean, I can't remember which program it was, but someone was like lamenting how they wanted to be rich and powerful, and they're like, oh yeah, and you'll marry Donald Trump, as if to say that like, that's the thing to aspire to. And I know, looking back, I can't remember what that's from, but looking back, it seems absurd that people would use that as the benchmark because of how...
Look at the coverage Ivanka got.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous, and this has all been orchestrated by the press, basically turning on him, and the fact they did so clearly shows to me that there's nothing, he didn't change overnight, did he? When he became nominated, he didn't change all his ideas. It was just that the press changed how they wanted to represent him because they had an agenda, which is dishonest, really. It's not presenting the candidate in an accurate way.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.